everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Sunday night here on KCRW at this time. And tonight we're going to listen to the work of Flanders and Swann, or Flanders and Swann. No, Flanders and Swann. Flanders and Swann were an act. They basically were songwriters who wrote songs for very clever revues in England, with names like Penny Plain and Fresh Airs, and Airs on a Shoestring, and things like that. And then at one point they decided, well, what the hell, let's go out and do our own songs. And they did so to great success in the late 1950s. Their first review ran from January of 57 to May of 59. And it was actually indirectly as a result of their success that the theaters were looking for something like that to follow them, and Beyond the Fringe was born. But that's another story and another act. But Flanders and Swann are very delightful. They're very sweet, and but yet very clever. There's nothing really saccharine about them, but it's wholesome, nice, clever, funny stuff. And Michael Flanders is no longer with us. Donald Swann is, however, living happily in England, to the best of my knowledge. Donald Swann wrote the music and played the piano, and Michael Flanders sat in a wheelchair, wrote the lyrics, and sang. I'm going to start off with a few of their hits, as it were. Have Some Madeira, Madeira, and The Gas Man Cometh, and Ill Wind. And then maybe some things from the Bestiary. They did an album of songs all about animals, which is a very nice album for children, if you can find it. And then I'll play some more obscure stuff for the cognoscenti in the audience that already know those three records. There are two other records that are much harder to find, containing some odds and ends and leftovers and things like that. And I'll play some of those. So anyway, let's start out with probably their most famous song. This song, a version of this song was done by a group, the Highwaymen, or the one of those sort of folky groups in the early 60s. And was fairly successful, but I think the original is by far the best, and it's a wonderfully lecherous little song called Have Some Madeira, Madeira.
I would like to sing you now a little Edwardian or Edwardian song. Give me a chance to wear my present, my little Edwardian hat or hort. last year I was given a decanter for my birthday, beautiful thing, cut glass, came from the Portobello Road, in which I keep Madeira, the wine of which I'm extremely fond. Not to excess, of course. That decanter and this hat gave us the idea for this little Edwardian song. She was young, she was pure, she was new, she was nice. She was fair, she was sweet, 17. He was old, he was violent, no stranger to vice. He was base, he was bad, he was mean. He had slyly inveigled her up to his flat to view his collection of stamps. And he said, as he hastened to put out the cat, the wine, his cigar, and the lamps, "Hap some Madeira, Madeira. You really have nothing to fear. I'm not trying to tempt you, that wouldn't be right. You shouldn't drink spirits at this time of night. Hap some Madeira, Madeira. It's a very much nicer than beer. I don't care for sherry, one cannot drink stout, and port is a wine I can well do without. It's simply a case of shackle and arse on gout. Have some Madeira, Madeira." Unaware of the wiles of the snake in the grass, of the fate of the maiden who topes, she lowered her standards by raising her glass, her courage, her eyes, and his hopes. She sipped it, she drank it, she drained it, she did. He quietly refilled it again. And he said, as he secretly carved one more notch on the butt of his gold-handled cane, "Hap some Madeira, Madeira. I've got a small cask of it here. And once it's been opened, you know it won't keep. Do finish it up. It will help you to sleep. Hap some Madeira, Madeira. It's a really an excellent year. Now, if it were gin, you'd be wrong to say yes. The evil gin does would be hard to assess. Besides, it's inclined to affect me prowess. Hap some Madeira, Madeira." Then there flashed through her mind what her mother had said with her antepenultimate breath. "Oh, my child, should you look on the wine when 'tis red, be prepared for a fate worse than death." She let go her glass with a shrill little cry. Crash tinkle, it fell to the floor. When he asked what in heaven, she made no reply, up her mind and a dash for the door. Absent Madeira, me dear, rang out down the hall, loud and clear, a tremulous cry that was filled with despair, as she bore to take breath in the cool midnight air. Absent Madeira, me dear, the words seemed to ring in her ear. Until the next morning, she woke up in bed, with a smile on her lips and an ache in her head, and a beard in her ear roll that tickled and said, Absent Madeira, me dear, ha ha ha.
This song is a ballad of unending domestic upheaval. I'm sure you've all had something of the same experience. It's called The Gas Man Cometh.
'Twas on a Monday morning, the gas man came to call. The gas tap wouldn't turn, I wasn't getting gas at all. He tore out all the skirting boards to try and find the main, and I had to call a carpenter to put them back again. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do. On the Tuesday morning, the carpenter came round. He hammered and he chiseled and he said,
Look what I found. Your joists are full of dry rot, but I'll put them all to rights.
Then he nailed right through a cable, and out went all the lights. Makes work for the working man to do.
Was on a Wednesday morning, the electrician came. He called me Mr. Sanderson, which isn't quite my name. He couldn't reach the fuse box without standing on the bin,
and his foot went through a window, so I called the glazier in. Though it all makes work for the working man to do. Was on the Thursday morning, the glazier came along with his blowtorch and his putty and his merry glazier song. He put another pane in, it took no time at all,
but I had to get a painter in to come and paint the wall. Oh, it all makes work for the working man to do.
Was on a Friday morning, the painter made a start. With undercoats
and overcoats,
he painted every part,
every nook and every cranny. But I found when he was gone, he painted over the gas tap and I couldn't turn it on.
For the working man to do.
On Saturday and Sunday, they do no work at all.
So it was on the Monday morning that the gas man came to call.
Now, you really have been tremendously nice. We do thank you. Posterity will be proud of you. And perhaps you'd like to help us even more now by joining in the last chorus of this next song. Don't have to if you don't want to, you know, if it embarrasses you. Would be rather a pity if you don't sing tonight, I think, because tonight, by way of encouragement, attendants will be passing among you with rawhide whips. This is one of the first songs that Donald and I ever wrote together. It turned out to be a very lucky day for us.
Oh, most fortunate, my dear chap.
Certainly was, wasn't it? Today, of course, is also another rather splendid day. Today is the 50th anniversary of that marvellous day when Aloykin, the Russian chess master, played King's Pawn to Knight 7th. This caused quite a stir as they were playing bridge at the time. But, In honour of this, and because I can't think of any other way to get around it, Donald is going to sing the second chorus of this song in Russian. This is the very first of the animal songs. Some people think the title of this song is irrelevant. But it's not irrelevant, it's a hippopotamus.
A bone hippopotamus was standing one day on the banks of the cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of the evening star. Away on a hilltop sat combing her hair his fair hippopotamine maid. The hippopotamus was no ignoramus and sang her this sweet serenade. Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud. The fair hippopotamus he aimed to entice from her seat on that hilltop above. As she hadn't got a ma to give her advice, came tiptoeing down to her love. Like thunder, the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met. His inamorata adjusted her garter and lifted her voice in duet in Russian.
Gräz, gräz, чудная гряз, лучше средства, как кожная вас. Так возьми свою даму.
Follow me, follow.
И поведи ее в яму.
Down to the hollow.
И там мы окунемся в чудную гряз.
There to improve our cultural relations. I wonder now what am I to say of the scene that ensued by the Shalimar side. They dived all at once with an ear-splitting splosh, then rose to the surface again. A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain. That's you!
It has long been my earnest wish to improve the standard of the music we have in these shows of ours.
Thank you very much.
Not at all, my dear sir.
Nothing, but you know that nobody has a higher opinion of your work than you do yourself. I simply meant we should have some more good music. And to this end, I have been practicing the horn, or French horn, as they call it. German horn, as the French call it. Not to be confused with the cor anglais. It's a marvellous instrument. I took it up because I very much wanted to play the music of Mozart, in particular his wonderful horn concerto in E-flat, Kirchel rating 495, which he wrote at the age of about 18 months. That's a marvellous man. I practiced it very hard against considerable opposition, I may say, and I had hoped this evening to give you the very first performance of the last movement, the Rondo Allegro Vivace. Owing to curious circumstances, as yet unexplained, I am not able to do this. I can only tell you why. I once had a whim and I had to obey it to buy a French horn in a second-hand shop. I polished it up and I started to play it in spite of the neighbours who begged me to stop. To sound my horn, I had to develop my embouchure. I found my horn was a bit of a devil to play, so artfully wound to give you a sound, a beautiful sound, so rich and round. Oh, the hours I had to spend before I mastered it in the end. But that was yesterday, and just today I looked in the usual place. There was the case, but the horn itself was missing. Oh, where can it have gone? Haven't you? Hasn't anyone seen my horn? Where can it have gone? What a blow. Now I know I'm unable to play my Allegro. Who swiped that horn? I bet you were quick. Somebody did. Knowing I found a concerto and wanted to play it, afraid of my talent at playing the horn. For early today, to my utter dismay, it had vanished away like the dew in the morn. Tootie. Lost that horn. I know I was using it yesterday. I've lost that horn. Lost that horn. Found that horn. Gone. The stock of my chosen a I fittingly pay a reward. I know some hearty folk whose party jokes pretended to hunt with the corn. Gone away. Gone away. Was it one of them took it away? Will you kindly return that horn? Oh, where is the devil who pinched my horn? I shall tell the police I want that French horn back. I miss its music more and more and more. Without that horn, I'm feeling sad and so forlorn. I found a concerto and wanted to play it this way. My talent to play the horn, but early today, to my utter dismay, it had totally vanished away. I wanted to play it, but somebody took it away. I practiced the horn and was longing to play it, but somebody took it away. My neighbor's asleep in his bed. I'll soon make him wish he were dead. I'll take up the tuba instead. Wah, wah.
Thank you very much. I should warn you, he wrote two more in E-flat alone. Next time we'll take the festival hall.
You know, it's a curious thing. All the many, many years we have been working together, Don and I, on this songwriting lark, we have never actually had a song in the hit parade. Not in the top 10. Anyway, we did have one in the bottom 5. Cannot think why this is, because old Vincent Van Swan here and I, we have made quite a study of music during 2 years we spent in a hospital near Arles, trying to find out what it is that makes... you know what the chap said when he undid the packet?
No.
He said, what's this here? We are trying to find out what it is that makes a hit a hit. Now, what is it that distinguishes a hit from good music? This undoubtedly is just get hold of a really catchy tune, preferably a tune everybody knows already. Well, Swan set to, and after a great deal of research, he has ended up with the most fantastic tune, a tune I know is going straight to the top of the hit parade, a tune which he has adapted from the works of... Who was it?
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Mozart, yes. He's doing very well in Europe just at the moment, you know. The carriage trade stuff mostly, but... I've set some words to this, and it goes like this.
Just a little music in the night makes me want to hold my baby tight. Mr. Mozart, play that melody. Eine kleine Nachtmusik for me.
Thus...
And we began to get a reputation for writing what Laurier called our witty little songs, and also privately for performing them ourselves at parties, and especially at those rather terrifying occasions, the first read-through of a new review, or sing-through, you might say, when the cast assembles for the first time to hear what the authors have written for them and complain about it. Actually, Donald and I rather enjoyed ourselves. He was experienced as a musical director, playing down there in the bottomless pit. And I was a frustrated actor working in radio and in search of an audience. We rehearsed it all carefully to make it look spontaneous. Even so, at the read-through of our next review, Penny Plain, in the spring of 1951, it did take a bit of nerve to say to someone like the late and much lamented Max Adrian, well, this is your solo, Max. It's very funny. It's called Prehistoric Complaint. You'll be dressed up in bits of fur as a sort of misfit caveman. And it goes like this. I was never cut out for a caveman. I'm a throwback, or forward, or out. This tedious Stone Age just isn't my own age, I feel. But you can't cast an age like a clout. Oh, it's fine for the tough who is hairy and rough, killing reindeer and mammoths and all. But I'm tired of their cracks, and I've bust my stone axe. So I'm painting rude words on the wall. How do you spell ug? I was never cut out for a caveman. My pigments and brushes are coarse, and I'm painting away for the future to say, my dear, it does really look quite like a horse. I must paint with agility signs of fertility, rude little men with no vests, and dare not lean back till the last pterodactyl has flown overhead to its nest. I was never cut out for a caveman. As an artist, I fight against odds. It's among my complaints that they will steal my paints and use them to daub horrid stripes on their bods. My charge is 3 flints for an indigo rinse. But once, when I said what he owed, a neighbour from Piltdown kept pulling my kilt down and giving me 1 for the woe. I was never cut out for a caveman. No model will pose in my lair. The entrance is narrow, but boys from the barrow keep coming and dragging them off by the hair. My wife was all right when I turned in last night, but this morning I found with a cry, her little fur brassiere caught on a glacier, just to remember her by. I was never cut out for a caveman. The menu just bores me to tears. Now the prospect before us is boiled brontosaurus for breakfast and dinner and supper for years. I must chalk up at once the results of their hunts, or they'll drive me away from the den. This age Neolithic is wholly horrific. So roll on the Ice Age again.
I take it that all of us are in favor of freedom of speech, provided it's not calculated to change our Western way of thought. I'm all for freedom of speech myself. Swan, too, has spent a lifetime fighting against censorship.
Oh, yes, my
dear. I must say that it does feel, we do feel that perhaps the whole field of literature and the arts has got a little too uninhibited lately, wouldn't you say? I mean, you know, modern plays and films and books and so on. There doesn't seem to be anything you can't say nowadays in public. You can say things in public that you would hesitate to say in private. I mean, these four-letter words and so on. I am very much opposed to this. I mean, there are very few of these four-letter words left. If they all come into common use, we'll have nothing left for special occasions, will we? Still, we feel that the time has perhaps come for us to take our stand on the somewhat polluted beaches of the Nouvelle Vague, to say goodbye to mealy-mouthed hypocrisy, which has served us so well for so long. Come right out with something adult, fearless, and forthright, and filthy. Mars out, Pars out, let's talk rude. Peepo belly bum draws. Dance in the garden in the nude. Peepo belly bum draws. Let's write rude words all down our street. Stick out our tongues at the people we meet. Let's have an intellectual treat. Peepo belly bum draws. Sunday again on CBC. Peepo belly bum draws. And Norman Mailer is coming to tea.
Peepo belly bum pants.
Allen Ginsberg reads on and on that we're having a happening when he's gone. Come to the party in the John. Peepo belly bum draws. Disney's planning a double bill. Peepo belly bum draws. Christopher Robin meets Fanny Hill. Pooh Bear belly bum draws. On stage and screen we can all work hard, throwing toilet rolls in our own backyard. Who's afraid of the avant-garde? Peepo belly bum bum. Peepo belly bum draws. What gets the prizes and wins awards? Peepo belly bum draws. What did Prince Philip tell the lords? Well, never mind that. At Oxford and Cambridge and Yale and all, and at Berkeley they really have a ball. 'Cause the higher the brow, the harder they fall for belly belly bum bum. Belly belly bum bum. Peepo belly belly bum bum. Peepo belly bum draws.
all right. It's only water. I was going to wash my mouth out, you see. Eh?
This is the song the ostrich sings. Peek-a-boo, I can't see you. Everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you said. But we've got enough troubles in everyday life. I just bury me head.
Oh, ostrich, consider how the world we know is trembling on the brink. Have you heard the news? May I hear your views? Will you tell me what you think? The ostrich lifted his head from the sand about an inch or so.
You will please excuse, but disturbing news I have no wish to know. Oh, peek-a-boo, I can't see you. Everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you've said. But we've got enough troubles in everyday life. I just bury me head.
Then I noticed suddenly where we were. I saw what time it was. Make haste, I said, it'll be too late. We must leave this place because he stuffed his wingtips into his ears. He would not hear me speak. And back in the soft Saharan sand, he plunged his yellow beak.
Oh, peak. Peek-a-boo, I can't see you. Everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you said. But we've got enough troubles in everyday life. I just bury me.
From a sheltered oasis a mile away, I observed that dreadful scene. And a single plume came floating down where my ostrich friend had been. Because he could not bear the sound of these words I had left unsaid. Here in this nuclear testing ground is no place to bury your head.
Our next is a subject very dear to our hearts, particularly to Donald's, I think. Bed.
The subject I wish to consider tonight comes under the general head, without an iota of dual entendre, so no dirty sniggers of bed. Though everything else has been treated at length in the various books I have read, Spinoza,
La Rochefoucauld,
Schiller,
and Kant
say practically nothing on bed. So I founded a new philosophical school, of which you have probably heard, propounding this thesis: the two-early worm is the one that gets caught by the bird. You like for delectable pillow and sheet, luxurious eiderdown spread, red hot water bottle bowed down at my feet. Oh, bountiful blessing of bed. To hell with ambition, it drives a man mad. I can scarcely wake up to be fed. Those people who keep making plans for the land will find him, if wanted, in bed. Risers and shiners whose insults are hurled at my almost invisible head, consider the mess you have made of the world, and stay out of mischief in bed.
for a blessed relation now dead, who left me a blanket, electric no less, now an integral part of my bed. A week without he maidens and solitary me, now left on the highest of shelves. Oh, seek not ye matrons my sorrows to be, but keep your cold feet to yourselves. Oh, purest of pleasures, voluptuous sleep, my eyelids are heavy as lead. Oh, soft, oh, delicious, oh, long, wide, and deep, oh, warm.
So there you have it. That's going to wrap up our little collection of Flanders and Swan. We heard a collection of tunes, as they would say, or as Butch Thompson used to say on A Prairie Home Companion, tunes. Have Some Madeira Madeira, The Gas Man Cometh, The Hippopotamus Song, Ill Wind, Eine Kleine Nachtmusik Cha-Cha, Prehistoric Complaint, Peepo Belly Bum Drawers, The Ostrich Song, and close off with Bed, which is actually sort of appropriate for this time of night, if it weren't for the fact that we have marvelous programming following Studs Terkel and then the ever-popular Rick Lamb. So, what else is there to tell you? Something good. Billy Connolly is going to be in town soon. I'm not exactly sure when, but watch the papers for him. I'm not going to miss him this time, and I hope you don't either, because he's a very, very funny man. From Scotland, very funny comedian. Also, so, one night this week, I'm not exactly sure which night, KCET is running The Naked Civil Servant. We have featured Quentin Crisp on this program. Someday, next time I go to New York, I'm hoping to interview Mr. Crisp for this program. And it's a marvelous film about him. He appears at the very beginning. And it's not all comedy, but it's a great story. And it's late one night this week. So, let's see, next week, Billy Crystal, and that's about it. So, until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. A one-man musical is being performed at the Cannon Theater called the Stephen Banks Home Entertainment Center. Don Shirley from the Los Angeles Times said, "The evening as a whole is riotously funny. The Stephen Banks Home Entertainment Center moved from its successful run at the Pasadena Playhouse to its present location at the Cannon Theater in Beverly Hills. Cannon Theater is located at 205 North Cannon Drive in Beverly Hills. If you would like to see Stephen Banks Home Entertainment Center, this one-man musical, next Sunday afternoon on May 14th, no, I'm reading the wrong one, not May 14th, next Sunday afternoon at May 7th, at 4 p.m., please call us now at 213-520-KCRW. The first 5 callers who have not received a gift from us in the past 30 days and who name this event will receive a pair of tickets. Compliments of KCRW 89.9 FM.